This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You know, we don't see the human being from a post-secular or even post-modern perspective. The human being is not just an abstract intellect. The human being is not just based on language and social hierarchies that are ever-changing, but rather the human being has a particular psychology. Yeah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Khaliq, the creator, He created us and He knows the human being better than the human being knows the human being. So we have a very kind of qalbi, fitri, ruhi type of approach, because all of these things are a dynamic interplay. As you know, Sheikh, you're a master at this, mashallah, tabarakallah. The aql is, according to the majority of the ulama, a function of the qalb. And the qalb does taqallub, it's wavering, right? And it has fitan, shubahat, and shahawat, blameworthy desires and destructive doubts. But he also has diseases like kibar, arrogance, ujub, self-amazement, riyah, ostentation, and hasad, blameworthy jealousy, and so on and so forth. And the qalb is ever changing. It does taqallub, and the aql is within that. So if you just attack the aql and you're not dealing with the heart, then no matter what the aql receives, it's going to be almost irrelevant. We have that approach. Exactly. So we have an ilmi approach. So ilm, to learn knowledge, transformative, not just informative, because the Quran, when it delivers an understanding of ilm, it delivers a transformative understanding. When Allah says, is the one who knows equal to the one who doesn't know? And the verse just before that, Allah talks about, you know, the people who do sajda and they pray at night and they hope in the mercy of their Lord and so on and so forth. So ilm is transformative. And there are two narrations attributed to Imam Malik, may Allah have mercy on him, when he talks about ilm. Ilm is not just memorization. It's a basis for it, but it's not just that. It's an internalization. And ilm is a nur that Allah puts in your heart. So we get people to be on a path of ilm, because ilm will destroy doubts. But also we get people to understand that shubahat are like parasites, because a shubha, which is the singular for shubahat, it tushbihu, it resembles something that it's not. It's a wolf. It's a wolf in sheep's clothing. It doesn't have intellectual veracity. So it's like a parasite that sits on your heart and wants to drain your iman. So we teach people, you need to strengthen your spiritual heart. The qalb has to be qalbin salim, has to be a sound heart. How do you do that? With the dhikr of Allah, with the salawat, with the salah, with the tahajjud, with the recitation of the Quran, with the tadabbur of the Quran. So we focus on that as well. We also focus on another strategy, on your environment. As you know, Sheikh, the ulama of tazkiyatun nafs, they focus on one thing if they give one piece of advice concerning the qalb, and they say, it's your environment. You're going to be upon the religion of your friends. You're going to be raised with those who you love. You're going to go to the blacksmith. You're going to smell like the blacksmith. You're going to go to the itar seller. You're going to smell of perfume. You know, that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even the story of the people of the cave. You know, the dog happened to be with the pious people. Allah saved the people. He also saved the dog. Ibn Kathir, one of the exegetes says, well, why is the dog mentioned? Well, Allah is kind of telling us that if a dog happened to be saved because it was with pious people, then what would Allah do to your life if you're with good people? So we talk about environment and we talk about social psychology and all of these things. Then we talk about making dua as well. Nothing is going to work without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to express your utter dependency on As-Samad, on the ultimately independent. And we have to understand that everything happens because of Allah's irada and qudra, and dua is the essence of worship. We're showing our humility and our abasement and our utter dependency on Him, and through that we could get some transformations as well. Then there are so many other strategies that we adopt. We also talk about that you have to have critical thinking. I call it a Quranic way of thinking, because the Quran has an amazing structure, especially when Allah's talking about His nature, but the natural phenomena, the theophany, if you like, the manifestation of Allah's names and attributes. Allah gets us to think in a particular way, and we get people to think in a Quranic way, and that helps a lot with regards to critical thinking and dealing with shubahat. And there are so many other strategies. We don't have to go through all of them, but basically we talk about the strategies, we help people implement them, because we believe in the kind of, I think it's a proverb, right? It said, if you give a man a fish, you're going to feed him for a day. But if you teach a man how to fish, you're going to feed him for a lifetime. So yeah, our strategy is that we give you an answer, but we give you the strategies or the way or the path to follow in order to basically deal with shubahat.
You know what I find amazing is that, and before I comment, there was somebody asking on Instagram for a full picture. You can hop onto YouTube, Safina Saidi channel, and you'll see the live stream. You could see the full picture. For some reason, Instagram jams us into this narrow picture, and when we have a guest, you don't see the guest faces. So hop onto YouTube. That's where everyone is at. Anyone, that's where the chat is at. That's where all the chit-chat is happening, and also it's a better picture. Now, one thing that's amazing that I'm realizing is everybody who is sincerely seeking the improvement, number one, the salvation of themselves, and number two, the benefit of others, is slowly coming to the same conclusion, right? And those conclusions are that it takes a balanced diet to quote unquote save. And can somebody say that someone saved another person? Yes, you can. Because Allah used you to save them, right? And Allah uses something to save them, and it is permissible as to attribute the action to the means. The proof of that is قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ. Say, the angel of death makes you die. Well, we know that is Allah who takes your soul and makes you die, but Allah attributes the action to the medium that He uses to fulfill His will. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Quran says وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَدْ. Every people has a guide, right? Therefore, there's absolutely nothing wrong in saying so and so saved so and so. We don't believe he saved him absolutely. We believe as a means, right? He saved him. So when we're and when you bring someone from a doubt to belief, at that moment you saved them. Like, we don't know how they're going to die. That's true. But at the moment, you did save them, right? And so this concept and this approach to trying to save people from the doubts of disbelief and the storm of desires, okay? Shahawat and shubuhat. You heard the word shubuhat. Shubuhat is doubts, things that are doubtful. Well, it's a mirage. It looks like one thing, but it's actually another thing altogether. That is the job of the devil. Iblis. His job, that's why Pharaoh's a magician. He makes it look like snakes. They're just ropes, right? Likewise, certain phrases, they sound like they make sense and they're full of mercy. In fact, it's full of violence and it makes no sense, right? But what I'm saying is that everyone's coming to the realization that you need companionship, knowledge, and spirituality. Like, you can't do with any of these. Like, when you're arguing with somebody, there's no point to argue with somebody whose heart doesn't want to be with you in the first place. And when someone does want to be with you, it's actually very easy to it's almost like a plug. The person wants to believe something. It becomes clear what it is, what the matter is to them. Issues become easy to discuss because they want the truth. What does Allah say about the worst possible dispute? Would be a marital dispute, right? And Allah, so this is like the most emotional, the most clouded your mind is ever going to get is in a family and marital dispute, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if they wish to come together, then a conclusion will be found, a resolution will be made. Good. If the two wish. Now, if only one party wishes to come together and the other is like, nah, I'm done with this, you won't find a resolution. So likewise, how do you get people, the question is now, how do you get people's heart to be in the position to receive the right aqidah and the right belief? It's companionship and it's a lot of spirituality. And that's the program that we've been running here. Now, it makes me happy to see, like, you're running the same exact operation. I've said, I don't know the London scene, but I figured, I mean, if you and Muhammad Hijab ever ran a center, a masjid with, like, rooms beyond it for other things that you guys do, studio, hangout room, chill out room, rec room, whatever, and then a masjid in the front. I mean, that would probably be the most jumping center I'd ever you could ever have in probably Western Europe, right? With both of your personalities, both of your outgoing natures, right? But I mean, everyone has a specialty, but people are realizing now that the friendship element of things is so important.